In the coastal villages of 18th century Ghana, two half-sisters are born into starkly different fates. Effia becomes the bride of a British slaver, living in relative comfort at Cape Coast Castle. Meanwhile, her half-sister Essie languishes in the dungeons directly beneath, soon to be shipped to America as a slave. This cruel twist, sisters separated by mere feet of stone, yet worlds apart in experience, sets the stage for a narrative that spans seven generations across three continents. Each sister carries a black stone necklace from their mother, Mame, a tangible link between them despite their separation. As Effia adjusts to life as a British officer's wife, Essie endures the unimaginable horrors of the Middle Passage. Their divergent paths create two family lines whose stories unfold in parallel, revealing how the legacy of slavery shapes lives for centuries to come. Quay, son of Effia and James Collins, embodies the moral complexities of the slave trade. Raised between two worlds, his mother's Fante culture and his father's British colonial society, Quay develops an intimate friendship with Cujo, son of a prominent chief. When this relationship is discovered, Quay is sent to England for education, returning years later as a trade representative. His uncle Fifi, wealthy from slave trading, arranges Quay's marriage to Nana Ya, a captured Asante princess. Despite his personal reluctance, Quay accepts, understanding that in the business of slavery, sacrifices had to be made. Through his story, we see how economic interests corrupted traditional social structures, creating new hierarchies based on exploitation. The gray areas where personal desires clash with social expectations reveal how historical atrocities involve complex webs of participation, the lines between victim and perpetrator becoming disturbingly blurred. Across the Atlantic, Essie's descendants face American slavery's brutal realities. Her daughter Ness, covered in scars that record America's violent history, forms a profound connection with Sam, a newly arrived African who initially refuses to speak English. Their love story, tender moments amid harsh circumstances, is shattered when their escape attempt fails. Sam is hanged while Ness endures a brutal whipping, their infant son Kojo taken away. Years later, Ness forms a protective bond with a mute girl named Pinky, demonstrating that, despite everything, her capacity for compassion remains intact. What's most striking about Ness isn't just what she endures, but how she maintains her humanity when the world treats her as property. Her resilience, finding ways to love, protect, and connect despite systematic dehumanization, reveals an extraordinary strength of spirit that passes through generations. The post-Civil War era brings new forms of oppression through the convict leasing system. H's grandson is arrested on fabricated charges and leased to coal mines, slavery effectively continuing under a different name. When H joins early labor organizing efforts, he witnesses a rare moment of interracial solidarity as white and black miners strike together. Management brings in convict laborers, mostly young black boys, to replace them. After one terrified boy is shot while attempting escape, violence erupts. H nearly throws a white boss down the mineshaft, but restrains himself, realizing he was not the con they had told him he was. This moment of self-recognition marks H's refusal to be defined by others' perceptions. The miners eventually win a small wage increase, and H returns home to reconcile with his wife Ethel. Their embrace amid burning greens suggests that human connection can persist despite systemic oppression, small victories in an ongoing struggle for dignity. Akua, Effia's great-granddaughter in colonial Ghana, is haunted by recurring dreams of a fire woman who eventually drives her to unimaginable violence. Raised by Christian missionaries after her mother's death, Akua grows disconnected from her cultural heritage, caught between her Christian upbringing and indigenous roots. When the War of the Golden Stool erupts, her husband joins the fight while Akua leads women in war songs. As conflict empties their village of men, her nightmares intensify. Pregnant and disturbed by visions of the firewoman asking, "Where are your children?" she's confined to her hut. In the novel's most tragic turn, Akua, driven by these visions, sets fire to her home, killing her daughters while her infant son Ya survives with severe burns. Years later, Akua explains to the adult Ya that the Fire Woman was an ancestor trying to communicate, connecting to Effia and the Black Stone Necklace. Her tragedy transforms from an act of madness to a manifestation of intergenerational trauma, suggesting that unaddressed historical wounds don't disappear, they smolder across generations until they find expression. In Harlem during the early 20th century, Willie Essie's descendant and a gifted singer finds her talent stifled by racial discrimination. Her complex relationship with her husband, Robert, who chooses to pass as white, illuminates the psychological toll of living in a society that privileges whiteness. Their marriage fractures after a traumatic incident at the jazzing club where Robert, drunk with white colleagues who don't know he's black, participates in Willie's humiliation. This violation, rooted in America's complex racial dynamics, leads to their separation. Willie raises their son alone, later having a daughter with an unreliable poet. Despite financial struggles and multiple evictions, Willie eventually joins a church choir but stands in the back, moving her lips without making sound, a powerful metaphor for the silencing of black voices. The novel's most triumphant moment comes when Willie, after years of silence, finally steps forward during a church service and sings. This reclamation of her voice represents not just personal healing, but the broader assertion of black artistic expression in the face of oppression. The novel concludes with Marcus, a Stanford PhD student, researching the American prison system's historical connections to slavery. As H's great-grandson and son of a former heroin addict, Marcus embodies both progress and ongoing struggles. His fear of water, linked to the ancestral trauma of the Middle Passage, serves as a powerful metaphor for how historical trauma shapes present experiences. When Marcus meets Marjorie, Effia's descendant, their connection brings together the two family branches that began with the separated sisters, though neither knows their shared ancestry. Their complementary fears, Marcus fears water, while Marjorie fears fire, connect to the novel's recurring motifs. Their journey to Ghana represents a symbolic homecoming, bringing the narrative full circle to Cape Coast Castle where the separation began. In the final scene, Marcus faces his fear by plunging into the ocean, while Marjorie confronts her fear of fire. As they swim together, Marjorie places her grandmother's black stone necklace, the same one that belonged to Effia generations earlier, around Marcus's neck, saying simply, "Welcome home." This moment suggests the possibility of healing through acknowledging shared history and reclaiming lost connections.